And that's
the word kingdom is the word basileia, which is where the word basilica comes from, and it illustrates a breadth and a sort of a defined large area in which the seat of the king, or the kingdom, as it were, the king's domain, which is what kingdom means, actually has control and power over. And it's a defined area. So this kingdom that we are praying here, the kingdom, is a defined area that is actually sometimes defined incredibly by the subjects rather than by the king, in this context particularly. Mm. Yes, later in time, there will have been no limits to this kingdom, but at the stage, there is some limits that we're praying about. The limits often defined by us. I'll explain that shortly. So basileia is where the word basilica comes from, talks about something that is large and expansive, and within that area there is total dominion, which comes from the word dominus, which is dominate, etc. This is the king's domain, where he has full reign. His realm, you can get the general idea. So when we talk about the kingdom, it's talking about the kingdom as applies, in this case, to the prayers of the prayer, which if we pray this generally and sincerely, having gone through the whole prayer, of course refers to us. So the first challenge we come across is we have to pray this prayer at the end. We say, at the end, for yours is, for thine is, for his, God, is the kingdom in my life. Total reign, total domination, total control, total handing over, total obedience. You get the general idea. This is why it's quite often hard to pray, and maybe we didn't want to know the detail of this as we're doing this, because we're saying at the end of this here, this is where it gets real. This is where it gets personal, and we say, Lord, have your way totally in the kingdom which is yours. My life, my plans, my ambitions, my future, my past, and certainly my present. Because if we're saying his is the kingdom, and those two words, his and is, we'll look at for each of these areas here, understanding that his, the Lord's, is present tense the kingdom. Now we know there's going to be a kingdom where Jesus reigns here on earth for 1,000 years. That has not yet happened. Unless I'm very much mistaken, we are not yet in heaven, the kingdom of heaven. So the kingdom that is now is the kingdom that we have allowed. Remember, I mentioned that limited definition, what we have allowed for him to be in our hearts and lives. Jesus isn't saying this kingdom is limited necessarily inside of that, but this is the kingdom that's being spoken about here. I wonder how we're doing with that. One of the challenges of practicing what you preach is when you start getting the gist of this, and this happened on Monday morning when Sandra sort of reminded me and said, there is something in here that you must not skip over. I thought about, what does that mean? For the kingdom to reign within the confines and definition of my life. How is that going? Surely, after a while, we get into the habit, as Christians do we, of sort of knowing what that looks like? Or do we get into the bad habit of sort of making this treaty with sin? Where we say, well, yeah, we sort of know that all of our lives should be held over to the Lord, and this is a kingdom representation. My walking as a Christian out there in the world is a little bit of the kingdom where God has total domination, but I'm actually afraid to say that that's not the case. I have made some sort of treaty or agreement with the enemy, where we see in the Bible it says that sin profits just for a season. It's pleasant for a little while, but the consequences are huge. So I wonder how we're going with that. Each one of us, because this is an us prayer. This isn't that you are the one that has the problem with your life and I'm all right, Jack. This is a prayer that when Jesus says, let us pray, and we're praying this together. I would encourage us in our small groups this week. Sometimes it may be an opportunity, and if you're not in a small group, it'd be wonderful to have you come and join one of them. We're able to go a little bit deeper and say, for our own sake, for the sake of our witness and our testimony in the world, how is the kingdom within the confines of this limit of our body and our lives? Is it really God's kingdom? Or is it a divided kingdom? Is it a kingdom that has light and dark? Is it a kingdom that has both, we know the prophecy of Daniel, that has both iron and clay, a weak sort of almost defeated before it goes out there. That's built up a little bit, maybe with messages like this, but quite quickly goes back to some sort of lower basis. I trust that's not the case for us, but Jesus knew that and asked us to close off this prayer with this acknowledgement of this kingdom is present tense. I wonder if I could leave that with you. His is the kingdom. How is that going for us? Secondly, if we consider this, his is, the second part here is the power. The power, the word dunamos in the Greek, which many of us will know, is often used in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. And we prayed this morning, as you couldn't have known this, we talked about signs and wonders following the preaching of the word. And we want to have some opportunity this morning, I believe, where we're going to wait for that to happen. Dunamos is the term that's given when the Holy Spirit comes in power. And if we're praying at the end of any time when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are praying that this power comes. But it's the power, it's not just a power. And it joins on with the kingdom. So imagine, as it were, the kingdom represented by each of us, our shape, as it were, the shape we make in the world, but be a kingdom that did not have the power or, for that matter, the glory. It's a shape moving through the world. And people may understand this person as a believer. This person is a Christian. They have their way of operating. They have their way of doing things. And that, once again, that the prophetic prayers that were prayed beforehand were remarkable. Someone, I can't remember who it was, said that our witness and example would be such that people cannot help but know there is something different about us. But if there's a kingdom that has no power and no glory, these things are not all together. There's a sense of, well, they're a rather strange person or a strange group of people. They do their own things. They meet on Sundays and maybe they do other things. Not a lot of difference otherwise. Maybe. Yep, they're nice people, etc., etc. You can imagine all the conclusions that could be drawn. If it were a kingdom, it did not have the power and did not have the glory. Now, my concern, sadly, is that many parts of the church have moved away from this. I remember a very sad story where a woman of a church planter, the husband had died some years ago, revisited a church that had been planted some years ago. And it was a Pentecostal church where signs and wonders, you would say, would be more prevalent than other churches maybe. She asked the question posed to the congregation, who believes that God heals today? Expecting that most of the people would put their hand up, and it was about 5%. What had happened in that church in the intervening, I guess, 20 years was they'd been led and understood that it was about serving, which was very relevant and very right, but it had moved from more of a signs and wonders understanding to more of a works understanding. Nothing wrong with that necessarily, except that they had left one thing to move to another. It wasn't the both and. So the shock this woman had, who was relaying this sort of situation, is that what's happened to, it wasn't her church, but she said, what happened to our church? What happened to the church we planted that moved away from any demonstration of power and was just something that was represented, and it had a big presence. It had a big, if you like, domain or kingdom, but no power was there. The challenge, of course, with the both and that we often talk about is it's much more difficult to hold two things in tension. And imagine here we have three things in tension: kingdom, power, and glory. They weren't meant necessarily to be easy, but they weren't meant to be understood in isolation. If there is a kingdom that has been defined by the realm and the range of which that kingdom is, and we are to pray for and the power, not a power, but the power of the Holy Spirit living, working for us, and thirdly, and the glory, that is a difficult thing to hold in tension. Remember a picture years ago of seeing pomp or glory without power, and it was a picture of a king in Africa who had all of the clothes but had no subjects. And you see pictures sometimes of power without glory, often people in business suits, and there's a lot of power behind them, but there's no sense of what they're doing being anything more than just business, as it were. The tension of the end of these things together is there is a glory amongst the power. I'm sure you've seen situations where people have amazing ministries, signs, wonders, healing, tongues, prophecy, etc. But when you meet with those people, sometimes it's become, sadly, don't get me wrong, it's good business and it's God's business, but something of the glory has departed. It's become not so much too serious, but come too much about the person and their ministry, etc., etc. Because God is desiring the word doxa, we get doxology from, is the word speaking about glory. This to be held in tension, that if we find ourselves in our ministry gritting our teeth and, yes, seeing wonderful signs and wonders happening, yes, seeing wonderful displays of the power of the Holy Spirit happening, but we have to say, where is the peace? Where is the excitement? Where is the joy? Where is the glory of the Lord being revealed and shone through me? And I know that sounds like quite a strange thing to say, that we would pray as much that the glory of the Lord shines through us than the effect of the Holy Spirit working through us. But we're not led off here that it's the kingdom or the power or the glory that we pray for. And we take our pick. Do we want to be kingdom people that have the broad expanse, but there's sort of not much when people look inside? Or the power people that aren't too concerned about where this kingdom is defined, but we're just all about signs and wonders? Or just the glory people who are looking and saying it's all about praise and adoration, which is also very relevant. It's the tension of the three coming together. And we're not let off this. The word in Greek, the word kai, the word and is there time and time again. And the word for that is also in here. So for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory is how we understand this. And one of the things that may illustrate this well, now this is not an excuse to bring up a Jaguar to you, but this is an E-type Jaguar, probably the only E-type Jaguar I'll ever own. But the thing about Jaguars that are very spiritual is the byline for Jaguar was grace, space, and pace. So within the confines of owning a Jaguar, you had space, kingdom as it were, you had pace, power as it were, and grace, glory as it were. Now, this is a silly illustration in many ways, but it may help us to understand that someone has tried to illustrate the pinnacle of what they felt was motoring, or the pinnacle of motoring, by giving a tagline or an advertising line that's saying, this Jaguar represents the kingdom, the power, and the glory as far as a car can. A bit of a stretch, I know. But the kingdom, space, the power, pace, and glory, grace. If we can understand that somebody has tried to grasp from a secular perspective what it is to have a total three-in-one perspective of perfection, then how would it be that while we probably never reach this side of glory, the prayer that Jesus wants us to pray is in desiring and encouraging that each of us as little representations of the kingdom until such time as the kingdom as Jesus reigns here on earth, or we're in heaven, other kingdoms. This is the power. His is the power, the kingdom, the power, and the glory. How would that be for us? Maybe we've not considered that the realm or the dominion, or rather domain of the king in our lives is less than it could be. But I would venture to suggest that maybe this week, with this knowledge, which you may or may not want to really have, is confronted with a situation where you say, well, here's an example, not just for the kingdom to be shown, not just for the power to be shown, or the glory, but all three in this situation. This is what Jesus encourages us. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The forever and ever doesn't mean just we do this once and it took so much out of us that that's about the only time I'm going to try and press into the kingdom, the power, and the glory coming together. The forever and ever amen is a word that speaks exactly as we say it in English. It's not to end and it's not to change. This is exactly why we need to pray this prayer with all diligence, because how could we possibly live a life where the kingdom is represented in me and the power is represented in me and the glory is represented in me, not of my kingdom, of my power and my glory, but his. His is the kingdom. So many times we might pray this on Sunday or at a time of prayer and we might read it quite differently. For mine, not thine, for mine is my kingdom and or a power and or a glory. We decide how that goes. And that's maybe relevant for the way in which we run our businesses at times. We may not want to feel that all three things come together. Or the way we run our relationships or our study or whatever aspect of our life that we're involved in. So could I encourage us as we wrap up this series on the Lord's Prayer, there is much to think about and consider here. And please hear me, this is a prayer that we pray for us. Again, an encouragement to be involved in some of our small groups. And there's a number which we run during the week in desiring to see that we go a little deeper. Maybe this week we may consider this, and there's plans that people are going through in their small groups. But considering how this looks, is this a prayer? And we're going to close in that prayer today as we pray together. Is this a prayer that we can pray with all honesty? Or do we have to say, Lord, help me to be expressing, showing, being the kingdom and the power and the glory? Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, we prayed that corporately as a group, as Beacon and Baptist Church. We pray that as we go forward, that if there is a prompting that we have from this time regarding those things that we are to change and consider in our own lives, then Lord, in your wonderful, gracious, loving way, bring that to our attention. Father, give us grace if a brother or sister is able to express that to us in the most loving, gentle ways, that there is a change that's needed. Or we are prompted to do something else, help us to be loving and graceful and gentle as we do that. But Father, we don't desire to be hypocrites and pray this prayer regularly and then not do it. Father, we have just prayed also in the end of the Lord's Prayer, and the power and the glory. All glory goes to you. But we know, Lord, that signs and wonders follow the proclaiming, the preaching of your word. Your word, Lord, has been proclaimed, has been preached. And we just want to take a moment before the band finish our service today to wait upon you. If their Holy Spirit, there is a prompting you've put on the heart of someone to call out regarding a healing, any sign or wonder, we want to give opportunity for that. Maybe, Lord, rising us up to a situation where this becomes something more regular. But we do not want to be in a place where we have the kingdom without the power and even without the glory. Because all glory of the power demonstrated by you, Holy Spirit, goes back to you, Lord Jesus. So we just want to wait and give opportunity. You may be the first time here today. You may not be coming along. It does not matter. If you feel there's a word for that you need to bring, or you feel there's a healing in terms of a part of the body that healing needs to be brought, then please just call us out. We'll have opportunity when the service finishes, to pray for that. It may be you've not done this before, and it's a strange prompting. You're getting a sense of something. There's no wrong answers here, as it were. Please feel free at this time to bring it. Just call it out loudly from where you are.